Good morning. Happy New Year. Okay, just a couple of announcements. There will be a special council meeting next week, and that will be after church. On the 9th of January, which is next week, there's a candle lighting memorial service. So if you have somebody that has passed away and you want to light a candle for them, let Joanne know. This with the Mission Fellowship Commission, we're trying to form a committee to research options to, I guess in a way, sponsor an Afghan family, refugee family. So there are different options that we can go through, and we are trying to form a committee to kind of help with our committee. And so if you are interested, let anybody in the Mission Fellowship Commission know that you're interested in helping us out. If you have any changes for the directory, leave Janet know, or Joanne know, or Janet. And okay, I guess that's everything. We are happy to have Ralph Miller here today. If anybody remembers his mom, Clara, which my special memory of her with mom, where they were best friends, and we used to hang out, Women's Fellowship had a fundraiser of making Easter bunnies. So we would go and make Easter bunnies in Clara's basement, and the girl bunnies were pink and the boy bunnies were blue. So that was kind of a special crafty fundraiser that we used to do together. So in that note, here's Barb. Maybe I'll rise for the call to worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Like sages from afar, come and behold the Christ.
Let us fall on our knees in his honor. Let us lift our voices in praise of his name.
May we sing from the Blue Hymnal 344, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. May we say the prayer in unison? God of our hopes, Christ of our faith, Spirit in our hearts, we come to worship you with joy and gladness. Your goodness towards us knows no limits. Breathe on us your holy calm so that in the stillness of your presence, we may open ourselves to trust and be transformed. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, I am going to read from Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms of every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glory grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to which the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and understanding, we made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having given predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformation with purpose of his will, in order that we were the first to be put in hope in Christ, might be with the praise of his glory, and you also have included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed that we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Christ, who is deposited guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now we'll hear from the senior choir.
Thank you.
quiet our hearts in prayer. At the start of each day, help us to recognize that you above all else. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we might see you and notice how you're at work through our lives. Give us the wisdom to make the best choices. Fill us with a desire to seek after you more than anything else in the world. Let your spirit and power breathe in us, through us again, fresh and new. Thank you that you are the greater than anything that we may face in our day. We ask that your peace lead us, that it would guard our hearts and minds in you. We love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now we will turn to the blue hymnal, 340, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and you can stand. You may be seated, and the children can go to children's church. I'm going to read from John 1:1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing had made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made of his dwelling among us. We have been his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself God is the closest relationship with the Father, who made him known." Okay, now we'll hear the message from Reverend Ralph Miller.
I'm going to start out with a little bit of an introduction of myself. And, you know, I was thinking that I would start out, you know, with a little bit of humor. I don't know, when Susie mentioned about my mom, it dawned on me, it's been quite a while since she would have been here because she moved up to the home up in Palmera. So some of you probably don't know her. But I was going to say, you know, I am Clara Miller's little boy. Okay. And, you know, so you know, we got to start somewhere to start with that. My dad was also Ernest Miller. Some of you might know him. But, you know, telling a little bit about my background here, I was, you know, I can say I've been a little upset with Glenn Hassinger for the last, 40 years or something like that. When I was part of Meyerstown Church of the Brethren, we were in the red church across the street. I graduated high school 66, college in 77. But after I left this area, that's when Glenn came up with a gym. Okay? So, you know, I will just say, you know, on a truthful nature, you know, I have enjoyed and benefited very much by what Glenn Hassinger has done for me in the past, okay? And he set the example of quite a few things. And our message today is a firm foundation. And I thought it was such an appropriate speech for today because I look at Meyerstown Church of the Brethren as the group that gave me a firm foundation of my faith. And so, yeah, I wrote down some names, and I could probably only get myself in trouble because there's no way I can mention them all. But there were so many different people that in the past have impacted me as far as my faith here at the Meyerstown Church of the Brethren. So I will say, you know, it was appropriate name for a message, a firm foundation. As we look at this, I think we need to start out with the reading that we had, or the first part, if you will, of the Ephesians 3 and 4. And I took it from the Good News Translation. And I wanted to share, again, Susie already read it, but I'll read it in a different translation. "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we may be holy and without fault before him. I underlined that last part, so that we would be holy and without fault before him, because I thought that was appropriate as far as saying about a firm foundation, because our foundation needs to be Jesus Christ. And so this passage that we have today coming from John, you know, talks about the Word. And I love the way that it has that. You know, and the fact, you know, there was the Word, okay? And when I think of that, I think of the power of words. I think of the joy that we can get from it. But before, I wanted to look and say, okay, before we had the power of the Word, what did we have? We had grace from God. But in what ways? He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us rules and regulations to govern ourselves by in the Old Testament. He's even, you know, and I can say even in the New Testament, through the epistles, he gave us rules and regulations to follow, written by Paul, primarily. But I also thought about the prophets. And the prophets came, and they didn't really give rules. They gave warnings. And so what happened with that is we started looking at God maybe as more of a threatening individual. And in fact, if we don't do what the rules and regulations tell us to do, you know, God will get upset. And then Jesus came. The Word came. And so I look as far as what was the purpose of Jesus coming. And I, with the scriptures that we had, I did a little bit backwards. I did 18, then 17, then 16, because I think it follows a different sequence. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is the closest and is in the closest relationship with the Father, who has him who made him known. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Out of this fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. God gave us grace with the Ten Commandments, with the rules and regulations, saying, follow these, and you'll have the life that will, you know, I guess we will look at Abraham and say, you know, you will populate the whole world. There will be as many descendants as you as there are stars. He's given that grace. But, you know, as we all know, we've blown it from the very beginning when we think about Adam and Eve, okay? We've showed how human we are and how we have faults. Now, if there's anybody here that doesn't have any, please come up and take over, okay? Because we all do. We all have faults. That's part of being human. How do we handle that? And we handle that because the Word came. And so I look and say, what was the purpose of the world, or the Word, sorry? No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. We think, we get into the trilogy, or the Trinity, in fact, saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I find that a real hard concept to really grasp and explain to people that aren't Christians. And the fact that there's, you know, God is made up of three parts. And yet I find that it makes a lot of sense in so many ways, because God, as the Father, has never been seen. And so he needed somebody to come and speak and show what God really was. He came in the form of a human being, and he showed compassion, he showed love. And I think when we think of Jesus, we think of love, because he came and showed us examples. He didn't come and show us fear. He came and showed us love. He healed the sick. He drove out the demons. He showed how much he cared. And as he said, he did not come to be served. He came to serve. The purpose of the word. Okay. Starts out, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the word, I'm sorry, let me say that again. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So again, I'm saying the trilogy, the Trinity, excuse me. And in fact, you know, and the main thing for us is knowing Jesus, knowing God, and having the Holy Spirit as part of us. It comes in and guides us. It shows us the path. I have, and I guess going back to a little bit of introduction of myself, and the fact when I got out of high school, I felt a calling to go into the ministry. But I think like many of us who are, you know, sort of are asked in different ways to do something, it's like, I don't think I'm really good enough. And so, you know, so I went to college and got pushed a little bit, and it's like, I don't think I'm good enough, so I changed majors and didn't go that path. Later on, maybe I think God gave me time to mature. Yeah, I needed that. No, I will let it at that, okay? But I went through some hard times. I wish sometimes that I had one of those miraculous things where, you know, like Paul, where all of a sudden he's blinded and sees because of the light, and he truly goes through that experience. I didn't have that, because being here at the Madison Avenue, or I'm sorry, Meyerstown Church of the Brethren, okay, I got it from the day I came into the church. I was shown God's strength. I was shown by the people that were here what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to believe in God, what it meant to serve. One of the things that I will always think of with Meyerstown Church of the Brethren is the nature that they had as far as serving. I picked on Pastor Hassinger a little bit earlier, but I will say, you know, he also set an example that I will never forget. And in fact, my mother needed a new roof. Economically, she couldn't afford it. So having had some experience as far as construction, because I did that in the summers, we decided, okay, we can do it ourselves. Glenn Hassinger showed up with a hammer, climbed on that roof, and helped put on shingles. And he showed what serving is all about. There's other examples I can give within, you know, my background here with Meyerstown. I am hoping that tradition is still going, you know, that this church is a serving church. Because you get more out of serving others than when being served. Because there is that love that's coming out of you, that joy that you get because you are giving of yourself. There's love showing. But anyway, I wound up in getting into industrial engineering, which I was blessed very much. And I will say all through my life, I can look at different points where God really took a hold of my hand and put me in positions that, you know, how did I get here? Truly blessings. But when I was about to retire, one of my tasks was to train somebody to take over the job that I was doing. I was doing proposal work at a manufacturer. And the biggest problem I had, now I will say that he was just out of college, okay? And so maybe he just needed more maturing like most of us when we were that young. But one of the things that I would ask him to do is go down to the manufacturing floor, talk to the supervisors, because you will get insights on this operation. I don't know why he was afraid to go down on the floor, manufacturing floor, but he would send them an email. And then most of the time, the foreman might respond sometimes. But if he did, what I found is he wasn't giving the whole story. He was just giving a piece of it to this young man. And so that is what God did with Jesus. He sent communication down. He sent Jesus down to us, part of himself, okay? And God sent him, and he became a communicator. We got to see God in action, physically, not just from a distance through winning wars or, you know, other miracles, like on the way here, I heard, you know, it was recounted again about how Abraham was supposed to use Isaac as a sacrifice, and how God provided that lamb. But Jesus came; he healed the sick. He drove out demons. He talked with the disciples. And ultimately, he gave of himself, again, a serving, if you will, to benefit those people he loved, you and I. He cared about us. The beauty, I think, sometimes, and also the confusion, is God knows what's going on now. He knows what went on in the past, and he knows what's the future. We don't have that ability, and sometimes I think it's hard to understand, because we look at things in a human sense. There's the old saying, in fact, God can do anything he wants, because he has that. He is above us. He is all powerful. He is leading the way, if you will. But getting back to that example. God gave Jesus as an example to us. And when I think about what he did in the Gospels, I frequently refer to it as one word, love. God sent Jesus to show his love for mankind. Jesus came, sacrificed himself. He could have called the angels, he could have gotten out of it. But he yielded to God's strength and power and followed what he was asked to do. And he gave of himself. But, okay, as we get into the scripture, it also said, in him, referring to Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it. And I think that last part is key. In fact, we are still in a sinful world. The light shines. But one of the things one of the pictures, and I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, that I love is the picture of Jesus standing at a door. And you look and you find that there is no doorknob on his side of the door. That the only way in is with the person on the other side opening it up and letting it in. I frequently think of God like air, okay? Susie, can you grab a bucket of it and bring it front? You're not going to do it, right? Okay, because we don't see it. We don't, we can't just say, oh, here it is. Okay, you don't mind I pick on you, Susie, okay? But, you know, here's air. If you want it, inhale. That's all you got to do. It's right there. You inhale it. It's there, available for you anytime you want it. So's God. So's Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It is there for you. What you need to do is let it in. Going back to that picture, you need to open that door and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be a part of me. It is us inviting him in. And so when we look at the darkness, it's still there. Sin will always be with man because we are in a sinful world. Some people, it was interesting, some of the readings I had, it was talking about, we tend to think of evil, you know, down there. The good guys are up there, the bad guys are here, you know, that way, okay? But I like to, you know, the other idea and the fact that the bad guys are around us. There is sin around us. Is it spirits? Is it, you know, I just say sin is around us. That we need to fight that. That we need to take Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, help me through this problem. Help me through these situations. Be my strength. The Word came in the form of human life. And he gave us examples. And so we need to say, you know, let that into my heart. Let the examples he gave be a part of me. So verses 12, 13, and 14, I would like to read again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to us. But we have to let him in. We have to say, you know, I want God. I want Jesus in my life. One of the beauties I think of, again, going back to what I felt I benefited from here at Meyerstown, is developing a firm foundation. And I got that because I saw it around me. I saw it in the church. I saw people open up their wallets to help somebody that was about to lose their home. I saw an individual that would periodically go and help people. And the only reason I know that is I saw it because he never proclaimed it. He never stood up and said, oh, look what I just did. He did it because he cared about people. He didn't care about getting credit. He showed his love, his desire to help others. So I look now as far as, you know, what I'm telling you, what Jesus came and did. I'm going to read again from the back part of Ephesians. Actually, it's verses 13b and 14a. When you believe, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. When we let Jesus into our hearts, when we let the Holy Spirit guide us, we know we have the inheritance of eternal life in heaven. Sometimes I wish more people would add in heaven. Because, you know, there's also eternal life, the place we don't want to go. And so we need to look and say, Jesus is our reason for being here. And so I look again as far as, you know, the Meyerstown Church of the Brethren, they set examples for me. They set a firm foundation. But I say Myerstown Church of the Brethren. But it was really the congregation, the individuals of the church that did that. This is a building, pure and simple, you know? And certainly there are joys in it, you know, because of the interactions that we have being together. But this isn't a sanctuary for security. This is a sanctuary to be motivated to help, to serve others like Jesus did. He did not come to be served, he came to serve. And as a congregation, we'll need to do the same. I'm jumping ahead just a little bit, just to, for an explanation. And in fact, later on we're going to read, and I'm assuming Susie's going to lead us, okay. And the responsive reading that's in there, I found that in the Messenger. And I tailored it to Myerstown Church of the Brethren. But the idea of this whole thing is this is a new year. This is a start. Where do you start? You start on what foundation you have from the past. And you come and you look and you say, we want to continue a strong distribution, if you will, of the faith that was given to us. That God blessed us through other people in our lives. And it is our job, our responsibility, to do the same for others. Amen? Susie, it's all yours.
Okay, can we all stand and sing "To God Be the Glory" in the Blue Hymnal 102?
Transport when Jesus we see.
Okay, can we all turn to the responsive benediction? On August 16th of 1919, the Meyerstown Church of Brethren was organized and had 150 members. Call us. The church was built on relationships. This congregation continues the work to which it was called. We are the Meyerstown Church of the Brethren.
We are the Meyerstown Church of the Brethren. Continue the work of Jesus, peacefully, together.
And may we all go in peace for the new year.
Amen.